Hi, I'm Renelle Golden, and you're listening to the Movie Making Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Today I am here with Dee Grant Smith. He is a transformational storyteller and life coach for every industry out there. And we thought we would talk to him to see how he can maybe give us some tips on creating better stories as writers and filmmakers. Welcome, Dee. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. It's so good to be here. Thank you for bringing me on your show.
Thank you. I always find it interesting when we kind of embark on this journey as storytellers that also deals with, you know, our life and our mental health and how we bring our life experiences together to make a better product, whether it's fictional or true. And so talking to you today, it's going to be a cool journey, a cool ride, just to sort of bring all that perspective into play. So tell us a little bit about you and your backstory.
Well, I spent 22 years in broadcast media. So I was in the radio broadcast industry for a very long time. Actually, that had been my ambition for high school, college, and what I had envisioned seeing myself doing professionally for the rest of my life. But then, you know, as life typically does, throws a curveball, haymaker.
Yep.
Yeah. So I worked in public radio, and over a period of time, I created a radio show that was for me an avenue and an opportunity for me to do some things that I always wanted to do creatively. I got tired of, this was in the early 2000s.
Right.
And at the time, just about all of radio was all pop. And I got tired of only listening to the same, like 12 songs on the radio all the time. This is way before Spotify and Apple Music and all the different
avenues. It's a little better now in that regard, but
yeah. So we've got way more selection now than we ever had before. But I was on the front cutting edge of introducing independent music to the radio. And I had somebody from the Dallas Morning News do an article on an artist that I played on my show and that happened to be a good friend of mine. And she put me in contact with him, and he was like, "How come I can't hear you in Dallas?" And I was like, "Well, because I live in Abilene, Texas, which is 3 hours west of Dallas."
Okay.
And and I was like, "Well, because I live 3 hours west of you, man." And he's like, "You need to figure out a way to get your show over here."
Oh yeah.
And so I went through a process of contacting radio stations and building relationships with people, and so that's really where my entrepreneurial journey got started, because that's when I started to learn about some of the old school ways of business. I learned from Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I wrote a book about this process. That was my first introduction to publishing. And from there, that's where I also got into coaching, because I found out that a lot of creative entrepreneurs and musicians and people that do this kind of stuff have great talent and they have great products, but they don't know how to get their stuff out into the world.
Right.
And they need to learn how to build relationships with people. And so I became known as the relationship guy in the independent music world. And I was coaching artists on how to build relationships within the industry, how to build relationships with media, how to get their stuff heard by more people, how to build relationships with their audience. So then my life hit another kind of curve. In 2017, I'd been married for about a dozen years, and my now former spouse out of nowhere, you know this story. I was 30 minutes away from leaving to go with a friend to go give a talk to a group of students about the power of love. And she told me that she didn't love me anymore and she wanted to leave. And my whole life in that moment just came to a...
You were gutted.
And because I had built my entire existence around being married. And my whole identity was on being a husband. And to find out that my partner didn't want that anymore and she was going to leave.
Right.
Like, my reason for living was gone. Like, I contemplated suicide. It was really, really nasty. I ended up going to that event. I ended up giving that speech. It was really hard, but also divine timing, because my friend that was with me is a human care bear. And when
one of those, all of us. Wow.
So I got, I got a 12-hour Care Bear stare that healed me enough to be able to keep going. But what that eventually turned into was I shut down my coaching business because I didn't believe that anybody would trust somebody. This was my negative story. And right. this is a big part of what, for me, storytelling and filmmaking is. It's addressing the stories that we are telling ourselves right. while we're watching stories about other people. And the story that I have been telling myself was a very negative one. And I came face to face with it. And in that time, had a spiritual experience where I met God in a way. And I learned that I didn't know what love really was. And I didn't know how to love myself. And that was actually the cause of all of my pain. And that changed my life forever. And so I became a student of what love is outside of religion, outside of cultural programming, outside right. of all of the, you know, dogmatic, stigmatic stuff that we have been in, you know, media and movies and all kinds of things have had all kinds of ways of influencing the way that we understand what love actually is.
Right.
And so I am a student of love and I am a teacher of love. And so what I do with people is using the power of storytelling, because I am a writer as well. Right. I write stories that I feel I'm being a channel and a vessel for something that's way bigger than me. And I'm communicating these messages that it's not up to me to tell you what to get out of it. It's just up to me to write down what it is that I've received.
Your stories, so most of the time they're purpose driven, I imagine. They're not fictional, but they're also...
No, they are fictional.
They are fictional, so...
I write a combination of fictional stories
okay.
and non-fictional stories. And okay. and I also have a platform. For me, it's all about inner growth. So I treat my heart and my mind like a garden, and I plant love inside myself every day. And I teach other people how to do that. And learning what love is, to know how to plant the right kind of love inside, I call this process growth farming. And so I am growing love within me so that I can produce love with my life. And I teach other people how to do that too, using fictional and non-fictional storytelling and using teachings and using courses and right. using that group coaching and all kinds of different ways to like really invest and grow this garden of life that is love.
So if you meet a writer and you met me and you know a bit about my story. If you meet somebody that's a writer and, you know, a lot of people get writer's block or they struggle to even get something down on the page to know where to begin or how to tell any story at all. Like, what kind of advice would you maybe give them to get going?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I gave a talk about this on Saturday and I've got all of my notes right here.
I was there in spirit. You just know it, right?
So from my perspective, I've wrestled with this idea of writer's block. And I think what it is it's a way of getting stuck in a place where we, again, are telling ourselves a story that I can't come up with anything new.
Yeah.
And that by itself is a story. But so I'll give you just a couple of things that to get out of that stuck place where you feel like you're sitting in traffic in New York City at rush hour and get more into a place where you feel like you're sitting in like a, you know, whitewater rapid, current.
Okay.
In a rowboat. And you're kind of like, how, you know, there's so much current here. What do I do with myself?
You've got
it all comes down to getting into a place of passion, because when you're in a place of passion, that energy is flowing. So how do you go from being stuck into being in a place of passion?
Yeah.
Simple ways. What are your dreams and desires? Think about something that you are really like wanting to experience, your biggest dreams. There's all kinds of passion there. Think about the people in your life that you are the most passionate about, people that you know personally, that you love with your whole heart. You're not going to have to spend a whole lot of time coming up with feelings of passion for them. Think about the inspiration that you feel from other people. All of us have heroes. All of us have people that we are modeling after.
Yeah.
Watch any sort of motivational video or talk or whatever. You're going to feel motivated and you're going to feel inspired. And that's going to put you back into a place of passion and a place where that creativity is flowing. And that's just three simple ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So if somebody's telling a story, you know, and then they're obviously the goal for screenwriters is to end up having it translated into film, whether it's a short film or a feature film or a commercial, then on the other side of the writers, we have our filmmakers, are the people behind the camera, the people directing it. So in the process of transformational storytelling, how can they become better at what they do? I'm not sure I put all the right words in there, but you know what I'm getting at. Like how can they reach that authentic self to tell a better story? Like,
well, you know? Yeah. So, okay. So two things, practice and belief. So we get good at what we do. That's one of the first things that one of my early mentors told me. And he would say that all the time. And he would say it in like casual conversation. It took me a little while to put the pieces together. Right. What he was basically saying is, whatever it is that we're practicing, we're going to be excellent at it. Right. So if not just writing, but transformational writing, if you want to write stories that really connect with other people's hearts, watch and read stories that connect with your heart and ask yourself questions while you're reading it. What is it about this? And sometimes, and I can totally relate, we're like trying to study something and the mechanics behind it might not seem all that, you know, it might not translate the same way. Like I've read Stephen King's On Writing book, and he has such a methodical process.
Yeah.
That it's really hard for me as just a very creative person to try to like, yeah. And I think in more abstract terms a lot than I do from like a very structured standpoint.
Right.
So, but it is important to, I think, practice the art of description and practicing the art of writing about emotions. So as I'm a highly sensitive person, and as a highly sensitive person who's very empathic, I feel things on a different level than what your average person does.
And you probably express it differently too.
And because of that, it helps me to understand the power of how can I intentionally work on communicating the things that I'm feeling in a way that translates over. And this has taken some practice. Right. But to become a more transformational storyteller, we have to practice these things that we might feel on a certain, like, you know, emotional level.
Right.
But part of our magic is our words. And it's not necessarily the words that we use, but it is in the way that we use the words. And I think that this is a very important aspect of what it is that it means for all of us as writers and as creatives, especially in filmmaking, because you're taking subject matter and presenting it in a way that is going to impact just only a couple of the senses. Different than what books do, but you're still using the visual stimuli to create an emotional connection. You're using the auditory stimuli to create an emotional connection. And just those two avenues, you're doing something to plant a seed in the imagination of the person that is watching, and not just plant the seed, but you're reaching out through the screen, grabbing them and bringing them into the story.
Yeah. So could they, these techniques would apply regardless of genre, possibly.
Absolutely. Right?
Because, I mean, sometimes we're hired, like, you know, I've been hired to write stories that are, it's a horror story, or it's a story about domestic violence, or, you know, for me, I don't necessarily, I'm trying to convey someone else's message, not necessarily mine. And that's, sometimes that's difficult. So, you know, I find, you know, for example, one on domestic violence, it would give me pause. It would be very painful for me to write that. One on like a horror film, it might be, okay, this is not my comfort zone, but I need to tell this story because this is my job. As a writer, the type of writer I am, I don't always get to pick and choose what I'm writing. So how can I dip into my experiences and my feelings to still achieve those goals when it's goals for other people? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think my understanding of your question is that in a way you become like an actor who is also a writer. Because you would have to, in a way, if you're being asked to take on a writing project that's very different than the style of writing that you normally do, then it's kind of like you stepping into a film role where you are portraying yourself as somebody that's different than who you naturally are.
Yeah.
So what I would suggest, just from this sort of suggestion, is look at, there's a certain acting style, and I'm trying to think of the name.
Meisner?
Of it. No, it's I can think of the actors that are really skilled with this.
Strasovsky or Oh, I never remember their names.
Well, I mean, like if you look at one of my favorite actresses. Method acting. Yeah.
Method acting. Yes. I love those actors. They come to set as the character and they don't leave.
Yeah. And so when you watch them in their roles, it is that like they have stepped into, they have shed their regular skin. They've taken on the skin of somebody else. And, you know, this really taps into something that I talk about a lot. This is something that's called self-concept, because it is the story that you are telling yourself about who you are.
Right.
And what I think would be a necessary component about this, and also very important to not go crazy in the process.
Yeah. Because, I have another question coming up kind of in that regard. Yeah.
But, you know, what makes sense to me is becoming an actor about this, like, so pretending that you are not just a writer that writes in this style, but thinking about the characters from the perspective of somebody that would write in that, as well as spend some time being a journalist about it. So
research, more abstract, so it's not as impactful.
Well, so the time that I spent working in public radio, I interviewed a lot of different types of people.
Okay.
I interviewed people that were newsmakers. I interviewed people that were, you know, heroes and different things. I interviewed a lot of classical musicians that have skill sets and musician level talents
that we can't imagine.
So far outside of, you know, I play drums and I can't compare to any of the things that these people were doing.
Yeah.
I interviewed all kinds of different people, but like what made the interviews with me very successful was I did a bunch of research before I sat down and had the conversations.
Right.
And I was not as interested in the things that the person was doing as much as I was interested in the reasons why they did the things that they did. And so getting into the psychology behind what it is that's causing people to do these things, that's, I think, how you're able to do exactly what it is we're talking about.
Yes.
Reach through the screen, grab the person's mind and their heart and bring them into the story, because you're understanding them on a much deeper level than just the surface level stuff.
So, and that's true. So another thought that comes to mind, which you might have some insight to. So you're a writer, you're writing for yourself, you're writing for someone else. It doesn't matter. As a writer or a creative storyteller, we tend to take some very difficult and dark journeys when we're trying to be authentic to the craft and to tell this story where we're reaching emotions and, you know, we're pulling people in and you're going on this ride. And often I find when the process is done, because I become like a zombie when I really, truly love what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Often I find I'm wiped out at the end. I'm emotionally drained. I need a few days recovery. I might as well have been partying somewhere in the world, because it's gone. Like, you know, I have to recover. So what are, like, have you witnessed this in writers? Have you experienced this? And what kinds of things could we do to not end up so drained, so like, you know, out of balance, I guess, is where I'm going with this question.
Yeah. Well, I wrote a novel in 3.5 weeks last year.
Oh, God, this is like something I do. You're a zombie, too.
Yeah. Well, except that the experience was something that was very life-giving to me.
Oh, that's good.
So, and I can tell you how I did that.
Okay.
And I think that this is something that can be a gigantic resource for writers of any capacity, whether you're a novel writer, a nonfiction, you know, biography writer, screenwriter, whatever.
Okay.
Get up and away from your desk and go outside and go for a walk.
That's simple. Yeah.
That's simple. Because how did my novel come to me? I didn't sit down one day and decide to write a novel.
Oh.
I've had an idea, something along the lines of an idea that goes back about 2.5 years.
Okay.
Now, 3 years now, I guess.
Right.
It came to me one day and I was like, okay, one day maybe I'll do something with it. Well, I just kind of buried it somewhere in my subconscious mind.
Oh,
and
wow.
One day I was on a walk. I walk around every day. So this is just a great practice to have anyways.
Yeah, actually, it is.
Last year I wrote, along with that novel and the start of another novel that I'm working on, I wrote the equivalent of about 45 short stories and all that stuff. About 12 short novels, novellas.
That's amazing.
Now they all came to me. I didn't sit down and decide to write this stuff. They came to me.
You're just like, this feels right, and it starts flowing.
Here's what happened. I had a scene. This is very filmmaking.
Okay.
I had a scene pop into my mind.
Okay.
I could see the characters. I could see the, you know, the storyline.
Yeah.
I'm on a walk, but in my mind, I'm watching a movie. And I get back to my house, and I'm like, I've got to write this down. But what I saw in my mind wasn't the start of the story. There was something that had to lead up to the stuff I saw. So I saw the middle part. I had to create the beginning and then create the ending part.
Yeah.
But allow myself to go through this journey of getting there. And here's the thing. Not knowing what's going to happen next is what you're supposed to be feeling. I feel. This is why my method and Stephen King's method is very different, because he has how the movie's going to end before he even begins. I don't know how it's going to end. And what if even us as writers in any capacity, what if when we begin writing, we don't know how the story is going to go and we are okay with that? We want to be a part of the process and be a part of the adventure, just like the audience is.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, I know in screenplay writing, they want the first act, the second act, and third act. I don't always follow those rules, especially if I'm writing for myself. I let it flow. And I usually just know that there's a character whose story needs to be told when it's my personal thing. Well, I just feel that. And I'm very zombie-like when I'm writing, because I can't rest until their story is told.
Well, I think that, you know, now that I've said this, there's probably some people that are watching. They're like, yeah, well, in your world, dude, that works. That doesn't work necessarily in my world.
Yeah, so, probably. So
let me just position this as a way to kind of like, you know, segue between the two.
Okay.
Going for a walk and getting away from your computer, getting away from your tablet, getting away from whatever it is.
Yeah.
Frees your mind to allow creativity to flow. And also, I live in Texas.
Okay.
We've got pecan trees everywhere, so there's a lot of nature around me now. For people that live in big cities, and maybe you don't have that same kind of outlet, but you do have you do have people that
car,
are around.
You have
all kinds of energy that's like allowing yourself to breathe that in is a recharge place. Zombies are, you know, whether we're looking at it from like a Walking Dead sort of standpoint or just the way that we feel,
but
you really have no brain power.
I use it all. And then I'm like, help. Yeah. It takes me days. I'm not kidding.
But if you will allow yourself, there's several components to this. Part of it's spiritual, part of it's personal development, part of it's physical.
Yeah.
If you will allow yourself to move your body, that's going to move your energy. You're not going to be in a lethargic, you know, dead state.
Yeah.
And you will channel all kinds of creative ideas that are not going to hit you at all while you're sitting down trying to make them happen.
Yeah, because a burnout is not what it really is. It's not burnout. It's just you become driven, and because of this drive, sometimes you block everything that you could be reaching and adding into your story, and that would make it even better. You know, and one of the benefits, I personally love writing. I don't always do it, but I love writing with writing partners for screenplays, because my break is I write, they write, I write, they write. And then we go, you know, through each other's work and we tweak and, you know, it's an egoless, very motivating kind of experience. But that does keep me out of that dark funk when I get in, when I'm writing my own stuff, because I have tunnel vision. It's like, I got to get through this tunnel, because I feel like all those characters have a life of their own and they're pushing me, you know, they're pushing me through to the other side, and I need to get there. And, you know, like you just mentioned a minute ago, we don't always need to know or do know where they're going. And often I don't, I just know this person is got to live in this story and I've got to tell their story. And it's weird. And a lot of writers don't do that. They'll take a whole year to like tell their story or even more. And they'll have that one screenplay that they work their butt off for. And I'll go, oh, I wrote 10 screenplays this year. Cause I don't know. I just, you know, I have it in me.
Yep.
And I, you know, it's funny, but I will say this. Me personally, as a writer, it's the one thing in life besides my children, I love telling stories. I love writing stories, and I write in every genre pretty much. I'm not that funny. So, you know, if you need to laugh, don't look at my stuff, but, I mean, I'm a little funny sometimes, but love telling stories. So what advice would you share with somebody who was considering going into being a writer or being a filmmaker?
Follow your passion and follow your bliss. And I think that that's true for anybody doing anything. I loved making radio. I loved making the show that I made. Really, the thing that I loved the most about working at the radio station, I loved teaching the students. I had college students that worked for me. That was the way that the station was set up. Yeah. That was my heart and soul. I went there. I did roughly three people's jobs. I got called at 2 o'clock in the morning when things broke instead of the guy that should have been called.
You really are wearing the hats. And
I facilitated roles that were not a part of my job description, but kept me staying there for as long as I did. A lot of my coworkers, we were in a pretty toxic work environment, very, very dysfunctional culture for a very long time. And we were doing the best we could with that. And this was actually where some of my personal development work began. I can see it very clearly now. But you know, when you're telling yourself a really negative story, you're projecting that onto other people, and it's impacting their mental health in a variety of different ways. So what got me out of bed and over to work in times when I hated being there was my love for teaching the students. And I see that that's a big part of what gets me up every day. My love for teaching.
Caring, teaching.
How to become the best version of themselves and how to believe in themselves and how to rewrite their story. That's a big part of what I do. So that's why storytelling and coaching go together for me, because I help people rewrite their stories. That's my bliss.
Yeah.
I am not interested in spending another second of my life doing something that I don't enjoy just for the sake of a dollar.
Life's too short. Yeah.
And, you know, we can actually live very comfortably doing work that we love that might not be as lucrative as other things that we could do, but we're going to love the process.
You know, loving it matters, because you can't take things with you. And you might leave behind things, but eventually other people own those things, or they get tossed away. And that isn't who you are. I mean, I don't have the right words for it, but you know what I mean? It's like material things should not be what defines who we are in life or our success. Obviously being comfortable matters, but you can't take it with you.
My statement here is not to take away from doing work that you love that also is very lucrative and
that's a good thing too. Yeah.
Yes, but my one piece of advice, if that's what you're wanting, follow your bliss, follow your happiness, know what that is. And if you don't know what that is, that's really where to spend and invest your time and your energy and connecting with this thing inside of you. It's a little tip, but it's a huge tip.
Okay.
We know the power of the mind. The power of the mind influences our emotions, right?
Yeah.
And so mindset is very important. However, on a quantum neuroscientific level, there's been all kinds of studies done by this, but if you want to know the research on it, the HeartMath Institute has done all the research on this.
Okay.
The brain emits an energy frequency that has power and is influential. However, the heart emits an energy frequency that is 5,000 times as powerful as that of the mind. So when you hear teachers talk about heart-brain coherence, that is bringing the brain and the creative power here into the emotional center of the heart and making magic happen.
Okay.
Really, magic happens from this place. So if we are too in our heads and we don't get into our hearts enough, we're going to struggle. You connecting more with your heart, you will know what it is that lights your fire. Run with that.
I love that. That is so cool. All right, Dee, where can people find you?
Well, all of my story, I have a couple of books that are available on Amazon. Those are all nonfiction. You want to read my transformational storytelling? There's only one place to go for that, because I am very intentional about relationships.
Okay.
This has stayed true through the test of time and will always be true. I want to know what people think. I want to know what people feel. I want to know people's stories that read my stories. And the only place to do that is at growthfarming.com.
Growthfarming.com. Very cool. Very cool. And you can help anybody, screenwriters, filmmakers, using storytelling to really reach their highest potential. So that's kind of marvelous. Is there any other things you'd like to say before we do our fun five for five?
No, I think we've covered everything. I'm excited to hear this five for five challenge.
You're goofy, but you know, that's kind of who I am.
So. Awesome. Winner.
Okay. Well, if you're ready, I'm going to fire away.
Let's go.
All right. I start the timer. No. Oh, I'm just kidding. Okay. Question number one, what is your favorite food?
Oh man. I go back and forth on this all the time.
I don't know.
If it's not pizza.
Oh, okay. I might have pizza.
If it's not pizza, it's lamb. And I feel kind of guilty about that because I think about lambs are so cute and adorable, but they taste so good.
Let's go with pizza. No one will know, right?
Go with pizza.
I mean, circle of life. So it's all good. All good. Okay. Next question. And normally I tell people non-film related, but for you, let's do non-writing if we can related. Okay.
Okay.
I bet we can't, though. What is something in life that inspires you or motivates you daily?
My friends.
Oh, okay. That's a brilliant answer. It's a good answer.
I have been blessed to be surrounded by some
of the Care Bear.
Incredible. Well, my friend Tim, that is a Care Bear. Absolutely. He's a musician and he's a great storyteller as well.
Oh, wow.
But so my growth farming platform is a community of like-minded, like-hearted people who are all leaders and all teachers in a variety of different industries. And every single one of them are incredibly inspirational people, and they inspire me every single day. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And it's the growthfarming.com again. There's a community there. People can join you. You do regular things, right? Like weekly and everything.
I've got so all membership levels get access to all of the courses and all of the books. It's over $1,000 worth of value for a fraction of that price for on a monthly basis. But in the middle tier, we do a weekly group coaching session that we did last night.
And it motivates everybody, I imagine.
And I impact everybody. Here's the thing, like it's not just a me thing. I come in and I do teach, but we discuss stuff. And again, all of our members are teachers and leaders. And so the impact and the input that everybody is contributing to this, I learned so much stuff. And then here's my favorite part of the whole thing. We spend the last 10 or 15 minutes blessing each other, speaking a blessing over each other individually. Each person gets assigned a person and it changes every single week. So you're building relationships with people and you are practicing speaking blessing and receiving blessing. It's a beautiful thing.
Lots of kindness running around there. Oh my, I love it. Okay, next question. What is something that you have always dreamed of doing, but you haven't done yet?
Ooh.
Not related to your career.
Well, honestly, screenwriting.
Oh, hey, I know somebody can help you with that. That's cool. It's a good one. Okay. All right. Here's a fun one. And I don't know that I would have an answer to this. It would change every day. But what is your favorite song to sing at the top of your lungs when you're like driving around the car and you think no one's watching you, but they all are?
Oh, I don't care whether anybody's watching me.
I probably don't either. I just sing.
I don't have a one song that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I do have a one song that like I rock out to every single time I hear it.
Okay.
If I were a guitar, I would want to be the guitar that's played by the lead guitarist of this band.
Okay.
It's my favorite song. It's Yellow Ledbetter by Pearl Jam. And if I could be a Fender Stratocaster in the hands of Mike McCready,
you'd be like, play it, man.
This would be the greatest thing in the whole world. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So that's kind of a metal band, right?
They were grunge,
hard rock, metal,
grunge, alternative rock. Yeah.
Okay.
And they've kind of changed their genres over the years. I mean,
they're actually all really good musicians. Yeah. They are. Okay. Last movie. Sorry, I blew my whole question. Oh my gosh. Okay. Last question. I'm going to act like I didn't do that. We'll just, what is your favorite movie?
I know what it is. It's going to surprise you.
Oh, okay.
Possibly.
Is it a Disney movie or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm a very deep thinker.
Okay.
And as you can tell from our conversation, I see things on a multitude of different levels.
Yeah.
My favorite movie used to be, because I'm a gigantic Christopher Nolan fan.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's one of the greatest directors, visionaries. He and his brother wrote the screenplays for most of their films.
Yeah.
So for the longest time, my favorite movie was The Dark Knight, being a huge Batman fan.
But over
the years, though, I recognize that my real favorite movie has been my favorite movie since I was
little,
7 or 8 years old when I saw it for the first time. And it's not a little kid movie, though.
Oh.
But it has been the story of my life.
Okay.
Over and over and over again. It's been the story of my life this year.
Okay.
It was the story of my life in 2017. It was the story of my life in 2003. And here's the movie, Rocky III.
No way. Really?
Because, and so to me, Sylvester Stallone is one of my greatest heroes. The man is a multi,
amazing
Oscar winning actor, screenwriter, director.
Yeah.
Incredibly
He's
brilliant.
All around. Yeah.
But in the third Rocky movie, which doesn't hardly get any credit at all, Rocky goes from being champion to getting his ass handed to him royally in a short amount of time, and at the same time losing his trainer. The emotional, mental, psychological impact of that is monumental. And Stallone does a great job of illustrating how he can't shake that. He's trying to train to get back into shape. And he's being trained by his former opponent and trying to learn something new, but he can't get his mind around it. And one of the most pivotal scenes in, I think, all of film, and it's so all of you guys that are film writers and screenmaker or filmmakers.
Right, what you said, yeah.
So watch the beach scene of Rocky III.
Okay.
One of the most transformational scenes where you finally see a character that is known for being strong totally break down and admit his fear.
Wow.
And so for me, the story of my life is Clubber Lang represents loss and fear.
Yeah.
And that's Mr. T's character, by the way. But getting just totally destroyed, especially in something that you think you've got a pretty good handle on.
Yeah.
And the way that psychologically that destroys you into even like you can try to go back, but every single time you're replaying that old story in your mind.
Yeah.
And it's not until you let that old story go and you choose to love yourself and do it for yourself to overcome the fear that you're able to actually step into your real power and be the truest version of yourself and go out there and kick some ass. And so that's why Rocky III is my favorite story.
That's brilliant. I love that. I love that. And you're right. I never even would have put that on the radar. How cool is that? Well, you have been awesome to talk to today, and I look forward to talking to you more. Yeah. So thank you so much. And I hope you'll come back and talk to me.
Well, Ranel, thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity, being that I'm not particularly as into the filmmaking world as many of your other guests are. But as you said, storytellers and story writers, we are all cut from a very similar cloth, and we all, you know, have something to offer each other. So I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity. Thank you.
And thank you, Dee. Have a great day, and we will talk to you again soon.
Yes, ma'am. You too.
Bye.
Movie Making with Ranel Golden is brought to you by Samira Entertainment, supporting indie films and the filmmakers who create them. Stop by their website to learn more, www.samiraentertainment.com. That's www.samiraentertainment.com. You've been listening to Movie Making with Ranel Golden. Be sure to come back for our next episode where we bring you the people who make movies you love. Got a topic about filmmaking you want to hear on our podcast? Send us an email at moviemakingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.